and just say that it is good to see everybody here. There we are. We're going to begin with a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song or three and have a bit of preaching. So, Christy, would you like to open for us, please, if you would?
Lord, thank you for the day, for your goodness, Lord, for every good gift, Lord, for every blessing, thank you for salvation, Lord, for your word, for the liberty still to gather in this land as well. Lord, please be with us, be amongst us, Lord, be in every heart here, Lord, work in everyone, open everyone, we pray. Be with Pat and Steve listening online as well, Lord, and everyone that will listen at a later date as well. I pray that you meet needs, feed your sheep, Lord, be with the preachers that need the service as well. Just guide us, bless our service, be with those that can't be with us, Lord, protect them. Remember those grieving families, especially, Lord, mm-hmm. pray a touch of comfort. We're thankful for Monica's surgery today as well, one successful, Lord. Please just help with recovery there too, please, Lord. Remember missionaries, guide, meet them, provide their needs, Lord, please. And save lost souls in this city, or protect our laws, Lord, or give credence to your word, swear to them, give common sense to our country's leaders too, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, let's take our hymn books this evening. We'll begin with 259 in the big books, and that is Jesus Saves. Oops. I sung myself out in that verse. That is a good one. 137 is next. 137. In times like these, 137 will remain seated as we sing. In times like these. Thank you.
need a Savior in times like these. You need an anchor, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, this rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor, I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, my anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. All right, put your hymn books away for a wee bit, take your Bibles out, and we'll follow along with Norman as he comes reading for us. With your foot, brother.
Stephen's reading is from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, and the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded in death, but to be spiritually minded in life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because the of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him he has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit is also helpeth, it also helpeth our infirmities, for we know that not that what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth that is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be comforted, in the image of his Son, and he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his Son, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I love Romans 8. There are so many wonderful verses in it. Thank you for that this evening, Norman, and for Steve. Thank you for that. Or should I say thank you for your Sunday morning suggestion? I think it is now, but anyway. Just want to remind everybody to make sure that they get one of the little yellow prayer lists. There are all of the ones that we've been talking about are incorporated into it, especially the Curry family and Diamond family at this time. I think there was a Duddy family as well, also lost a husband and a dad there about a week ago, connected to Pat and Steve down in Stevenson's Park there. So please do pray for the Currys, the Duddies and the Diamonds at this time. Please do continue to pray for our country. We certainly need a lot of prayer. The people that are tasked with running this country, someone needs to remind them that they serve at the pleasure of the people. And when the people doesn't please the people anymore, they need to pull their socks up or turn themselves and go in a different direction. So please do pray for the leaders, not just of our own country, but of countries around the world. They all need God's wisdom, and they certainly all need God's direction. We miss Pat and Steve in person, but we're glad to have them on WhatsApp this evening. The service is being recorded for all those souls that that listen in by a CD or on the internet later on. Oh, one other family, please do pray for the Fleckner family as well. They have, it was Maslam and Georgina that contacted us way last year about wanting a copy of the services and hoping to join in and move up, but Maslam passed away there just about a week and a half ago. So please do pray for the Fleckner family. I don't think their children are saved, so there will be, I'm sure there will be a lot of tears will be shed over the next wee while, not just there, but I am sure with everybody that has lost loved ones in the recent past. So please do pray for them. Miss Frank, but he'll be back with us on Sunday, isn't it? He comes back
Sunday lunchtime.
We'll put the service back an hour so we can include him in it and we can see him. I'm sure he would appreciate that. Off the plane after traveling all morning, but we'll look forward to seeing him again. Pray for him as he travels. We miss Will and Christine too. We're glad to have Stephen with us. And we miss Esther, and of course we'll always miss Leonard. He was certainly a character. I'm assuming he's still well. I must actually ring and just contact the Milesium home there in Macrofelt and see how he's doing in the very near future. Just want to thank you as well for all your prayers for Monica this morning and this afternoon. We certainly had an interesting day, which went from hoping that the doctor would say, "You're doing rightly, you're free to go and you're off the books." And that just didn't happen. He said, "It's gotten worse," and she had to have, Monica reckons, 1,000 laser strikes in the eye to staple down her retina and to seal a hole. Not a tear anymore, the tear went to a hole in just the space of 2 weeks, but not an unexpected situation whenever you're dealing with those things. But she's now on 5 days of light duties, and
two
weeks before she gets her next checkup. I think I said to my brothers, "Would you believe it? My wife got a ringside seat at a show with more laser blasts than Star Wars, and I didn't even get a look in." Said, "I'm almost jealous, almost." But all joking aside, we're glad that went well. We're glad the surgeon found the extra wee bit of damage, and it is only a tiny wee thing. And when I say wee bit, it doesn't hurt. It's just aggravating. But if it wasn't sorted out, Monica would be blind in one eye. So it's well worth remembering, if you're short-sighted, that you have this to look forward to in your future, possibly a great higher possibility of that than for long-sighted people. But appreciate your prayers, and I would appreciate them even after, for the next wee while, as her eyes recuperate. She said, I asked her if she wanted to come to church or stay at home. She said, I really just want to be where you are. I want the company tonight. So it's good to be well thought of. Anyway. Hi. Please do remember each other's private prayer requests. I've just got rings around everybody's name, and I am sure everybody has private prayer requests and things that they have on their minds that are on their minds throughout the week. Just, I know it sounds very glib to say this, but talk to the Lord about it constantly, and it'll lighten your load for you. There are other things down there. Please do continue to pray for missions outreaches, for Francis Cosgrave, for Kids for Schools, for the Christian Institute. Don't forget Brother Stan and all the Stuarts, and that's three Stuarts and their families, and James and Jake up in Bangor. Please do remember his wee girl Jade is away up the hospital with suspected meningitis, so please do remember her whenever you're saying your prayers. A lot going on, and there's a lot of things needing prayed about, so please do remember those. Amen. Is there anything else I need to be adding to this? Okay. Grand job. Grand job. Right, let's close our eyes, bow our heads, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get back to singing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the great and the gracious invitation to come into your presence at any time. And Lord, at the risk of coming before you with a shopping list of prayers, I just pray you, please, for all of the names and the situations and circumstances that were mentioned as part of our prayer requests this evening. I know also, Lord, that we didn't make mention of the folks on the road, so I'd just like to mention their names, Lord, and I pray for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, for Norman and Joan, for Henry and Evelyn, for Alan Leslie and Brigade, and for Pearl Hetherington and Brigade too, Lord. I pray for those that listen online, for those that get the CD, not forgetting Eddie and Anne, up beside Esther there. We pray you for all of these souls, Lord, that you would speak to, comfort, strengthen, bring to the foot of the cross for the saving of souls. Please convict, Lord, not just the names that have been mentioned, but all of the people that have received a gospel tract, an invitation, or even a word, Lord, at a door, at a curbside, Father, even over a cup of tea. I pray you, please, Lord, that you would save souls. Just thank you for loving us and watching over us, and for your many promises, for your blessings, Lord, most importantly for your Son, for your Word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I pray you, Lord, that you would be one of our number this evening. Wherever, Lord, there's a man standing to preach the full counsel of your Word, I pray you, Lord, you'd bless and keep him. And I just think especially on Stan and Ed Bissett, Lord, and Phil Seeley and John Asquith and Roger Hayne, Alan Fox, Lord, and the many other men that stand to do your service and your will every Lord's Day and every other day, Lord, and I pray you a blessing upon us. Love you and thank you. Pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and ask it according to your will. Amen. Amen. Hymn books again, folks. 448 will be our penultimate hymn of the evening. 448, brethren, we've met to worship. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
Pray.
be seated. Thank you very much. If you would like to take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Leviticus.
Book of Leviticus, I think it's 23 we're in this evening.
Yep. Leviticus 23, and I want to read a first handful of verses from Leviticus 23, and I want to spend a moment or two on the subject of think. Think. Think on this. It seems to be a common theme in my messages this last wee while. I think consider this was one of our other messages, I think on Sunday actually. But I want to spend a little bit of time on thinking on this, or thinking on the Lord. First four verses of Leviticus chapter 23. And the word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons." Amen. Amen. Let's have a wee word of prayer again, and then we will continue. Would you pray for us again, Christy, if you would, please?
Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you in advance for the message that we're about to hear, and ask and pray, Holy Ghost, wisdom, Lord, for power, for boldness, Lord, for understanding, Lord, for discernment amongst your people here in your house. And we ask, Lord, that you would work in each heart even now, prepare us, Lord, and prepare the preacher as well. And just accomplish your will here, we ask this hour in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. I am sure you've heard much preaching on the Sabbath day. Well, we do technically on our, in quotes, Sabbath day. We hear a fair bit. At least I try to make it a fair bit. But I'm sure we've heard of the commandment in the, mentioned in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, where the Lord said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Deuteronomy goes a little bit further and says, Deuteronomy 5:14, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and that thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commandeth thee to keep the Sabbath day." It's a very labored point, and it's mentioned over and over and over again, because whenever we're here, I don't know about you, but I find it difficult to be thinking about the internet, except this little bit of it down at my feet here. Find it very difficult to be worrying about my email, or what's happening on eBay, or what somebody's saying on Facebook, or what's the other tab, I can't even remember, or what's going on YouTube. I know what's going on in the BBC and a lot of the other media broadcasting companies. That's just left-wing propaganda. But whenever you're here in church, when you look around the walls, you have Jesus, the Word of God. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." We're going to be using that verse later on today. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that I am the God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord God. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." These are the things that you see when you look around in church. You see other people with their Bibles in their hands. They might even have a notebook or a pen, and they'll be writing in their Bible, "Hey, that's a good thought. I'll write that down. I'll highlight that verse. Do you know what? I might just hammer that verse into my head, because I could be doing with that verse." God said, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." Because it's very, very important. It's easy to say something's very, very important, but you have to put the reasoning behind it. It was, I'll get to the reason in just a minute. It's not for God. God's not like a 5-year-old having a tea party and demands that all of her teddy bears and dollies sit around and have a wee cup of tea because it pleases her. The Lord commands us to turn up in church with our Bibles. The Bible is to keep me right. It's not to keep you right. It's to make sure that I am telling you the right things. You're supposed to be looking at your Bible even as I mention these things. We're supposed to be a self-correcting organism. We are here for our benefit. God loves it when we turn up, but we are here for our benefit. It is solely for our benefit. And it's so important that God kicked the children of Israel out of Israel for 70 years because they refused to go to church. And that's just that. He kicked them out of Israel for 70 years. He said, you know what? I'm sick, sore and tired of all these prophets that I keep sending to you. What did Jesus say? Some of them you stoned, some of them you burned and goodness, and some of them you beat and turned away, and some of them you just outright killed. He said, I've had enough. Simply because you're not turning up at church, I am going to kick you out of the land. And so for a few decades he had been preparing Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And Babylon rolled in and took over the whole of Israel and took all the best of their young people and made them like Daniel and Azariah and Hananiah and Mishael, made them the wise men of his kingdom. And that was the custom back in the day. Israel lost the creme de la creme of its population, of its wealth, of all of its cattle, of everything, because the children of Israel wouldn't turn up at church. And that's a sobering thought. So God says, I need for you to go to church. It's important. As the actual, you've ever heard of someone wanting to be or claiming to be the smartest guy in the room? You ever heard of that, yeah? As the actual smartest guy in the room, of every room and every house everywhere in the world, God is doing his level best for us every moment of every day. Now, some people might think, well, if God's doing his level best for us, how come there's drunk drivers out there? How come there's rapists out there? How come there's pedophiles, there's kidnappers, there's murderers, there's thieves? How come there's people, thugs that'll hang around the street corners and give someone a hiding or haul them out of their car at a traffic light and give them a hiding? Why can't God fix that? That's quite simple. God could fix it. But he wouldn't stop at all those people and the wicked things that repulse us. He wouldn't stop even till he got to the drinking. There'd be no pubs left. There'd be no alcohol left for drinking. There'd be no drugs left. There'd be no pornography left. There'd be no taking the Lord's name in vain left. We want these people put to death, but we don't realize that breaking any of God's laws makes us guilty of a death sentence. We want our free will to do what we want to do, but we want God to deal with those bad people that are way over there. We tend to forget that we are all sinners and we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't really want God to sort these people out, because if he started with them, where would he finish and who would be left alive? The Lord has been preparing for thousands of years in the plain sight of every single person on the face of this world for the coming of the Messiah. And guess what? He actually landed 2,000 years ago, probably 2,000 and a bit years ago. He lived with us for 33 years. He was falsely accused, improperly imprisoned, lied about, abandoned and betrayed, was actually put to death for no reason. And he suffered. The bit that we didn't see was the bit that caused him the most grief. The one that caused, the one thing that God promises to anybody that gets saved, that you'll never be separated from God anymore, was actually caused to God Almighty because of our sins. Never ever say that God demands us be in church for his benefit. I am sure that God could have an awful lot quieter and easier of a life, and Jesus Christ would too, as would the Holy Spirit, if he just said, my head's deaved with these creatures on the earth. I'm done with them. Let them do whatever they want. That is coming, but not just yet. So he's done all this work for us, and he just says one thing. Take one day out of the week and make it a day of rest. A lot of people say, I do take it as a day of rest. I go out and play golf. I take the family out swimming, walking. I do the shopping. It's not a day of work. God didn't say that. He said it was to be a day of rest to me. It is to be based around me. And it's not because I want all my little teddy bears and dollies all sitting around with their little teacups to please me. It's to help you. I'll give you a for example. All of us today look, as they said about Daniel, fairly fat in the flesh and the cheeks. There's none of us failing. Remember Daniel when he had the diet of pulses and beans and things and water instead of the king's food? He was healthier looking than all of the king's people that took of the flesh and the wine of the king. We all look pretty good. We all had our food today and we all had our drink, whether it was water, milk, tea, coffee. We all had some. And would you believe it, we're all here and we're dressed. Nobody needed to be run to and covered with a big blanket. We were tended to, were we not? Of course we were. And we had somewhere to sleep tonight, roof over our heads, and even a fire going to keep us warm. If we're responsible for families, we made sure for the same for them, did we not? Of course we did. Or if we were going to do our work, we made sure that we were ready for and turned up for it, although sometimes it's only rolling out of one side of bed as opposed to the other side of bed now because so many people are working for home. But whenever you're getting ready for work, you put on the appropriate clothing. You don't want to be going putting fires out in a pair of flip-flops and shorts and a nylon t-shirt. You have your fireproof gear on, but you get the idea. You're ready to do that to pay for the other too. So you tend to your work life, you tend to your family life, and you tend to your own life. What about that critter that you took to get you everywhere? You know that, not the four-legged one, but the four-wheeled one. Did you get it serviced? Has it ever been serviced? Has it ever had its oil changed? Have you ever taken time to put fuel in the tank? To change the filters, the oil, the fuel, and the air filter. You tended to your car, and why do you do all those things? You tend to your relationships. To the people that you know, the people that you love. You pray for them, you talk to them, you get in touch with them. And you maintain them. Why do you do those things? Because you know full well that without them, they will fail. Your body will fail. Your family will fail. Your job will get rid of you. Your car will grind to a halt one day. Your friends will... Well, they'll not be friends anymore. They'll be strangers. These things need maintenance, like our gardens, like our houses. Why is it that people think that our souls require any less maintenance? Whether you like it or not, if you said, I'm not going to bother changing the oil in my car anymore, what would people say? Are you crazy? For all the money you put into that car and you're going to let the engine seize and that thousands of pounds sit there by the side of the road for the sake of a few quid of oil. Are you crazy? Or, I'm not going to eat today. Why not? I just don't feel like it. I don't want to eat anything or drink anything, they'd be saying. Are you sick? Are you crazy? Why do we think it's okay to neglect our soul, that third part of us? You know, the body, we have control over that. We can decide whether what it eats, what it drinks, and what we put on it. The soul, if you like, we have control over that too. We can decide what we feed it with. We can decide where we take it. The spirit, that's God, that little spark of life that God gave you and brought you up out of the, goodness brought us up out of the ground about 6,000 years ago. Someday that's going to go back to him, and our body will go into the earth, and our souls will go where we chose for them to go, either heaven or hell. But in the meantime, we have a bit of maintenance to do, and it takes a bit of work. And this is what church is all about. Whether you have a church with 1,000 people in it, as long as they're preaching the gospel, you know what? That's grand. As long as everybody has someone to help them if they need it, that's grand. But normally churches that big really don't work very well. A lot of people vanilla into the background and are lost, fall in between the cracks. But friends, we need looking after. Somebody once said, see if you can guess who said this, what good is it to you if you get everything there is in the world and you lose your own soul? What use is that to you? What use is it if you have the latest phone, the latest computer, the latest car, fashion, house, gadget, friends, but you've no joy in it? So there's no thrill in it. There's no satisfaction in it. And that joy can only be had whenever you're saved and serving the Lord God Almighty. And this is why God made the commandments. This is why God spoke to Moses and hammered those laws and his word into his head over those 40 days and 40 nights and told him to tell the children of Israel. My goodness, even whenever they went through, I think it was the Jordan, God said to Moses, tell one man in each of the tribes to lift a rock and carry it out of the Jordan and set it on the far side of the Jordan, stack them all up together. Why? So that when your children ask what these stones are for, you can tell them about the Exodus from Egypt. You can tell them about the 40 years in the wilderness. You can tell them about being unbeaten in battle. You can tell them that the Lord opened the Red Sea and the Jordan for them to cross. Because you can get them to think upon the things of God. That's what church is about, to think on the things of God. And see what the things of God do whenever they get into your heart and your mind. And this is why God punished the children of Israel when they refused. It wasn't that they were sick and they missed a week. They just abjectly refused. That same, and it was years later that Nehemiah leaned over the walls of the city after having rebuilt the walls, and he said to the merchants that were coming in on the Saturday night or on the Friday night, he says, don't bother coming back here. This is a Sabbath. We are going to be worshiping God today. Don't come back. And they came back the next week, and Nehemiah said, you guys come back again, I'm going to kill you. And I'm not as in they saying, oh, I'm going to kill you. Not shaking their fist and knowing that the most that might happen is be a clashed ear. He would literally have sent soldiers down to kill them, because it was that important that people take time to think on God. It is that important. It's not being in church. It's not the parade to church. If the parade to church made people good Christians, goodness, this place would literally be heaven on earth. There would be no pubs open. Even for the, how many churches are there in Derry? 25? Something around about that. Maybe even more, 30? The wee fellowships. We're talking about the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Church of Ireland Church. We're talking about Presbyterian Church. We're talking about the Charismatic Church. We're talking about the three Baptist churches in this town. And we're talking about all the little fellowships that spring up here and there. It could be 30 or more churches. And you see, if turning up every Sunday or whenever it is the doors are open made these people into Christians, this place would be like heaven. There'd be no stopping us. But it doesn't. Turning up at church does not make you a Christian. But letting church get into you, letting the preaching get into you, letting the prayer get into you, letting the songs, the Bible reading get into you, letting the Holy Spirit, whenever he stands at the door of your heart and knocks in, that will make you a Christian, if you let it. Sad thing is, most folks think that going to church is an old chore, and let me tell you, I think it sometimes. There's a little part in me, the old Mark, that can't wait to get home again to see what's happening on the internet or to get some chore or project pushed further along at home. But I'm not subject to the old Mark. I'm subject to the new Mark. I'm under new management. My Christianity is not a fashion accessory that I trot out on a Sunday morning because I am so glad to have spent Saturday studying and putting notes together. It's not. It's not a fashion accessory at all. It's not like a lick of paint on a car. It's more like caterpillar tracks on a tank. It gets me over the humps and bumps in life. Friends, the Lord is author and finisher of our salvation. It's all about God. And it's all about us getting to the point where we talk with him, where we walk with him, where we listen to him, and where we obey him. And let me tell you something. He is listening to every cry that you had. The verses that Norman read this evening talked about the Holy Spirit making intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. I think it did, didn't it? And if you're not taking time with the Lord, your cares and your worries, your concerns, they'll never be addressed. They'll just fester and grow in your heart and mind. Your load will never be lightened. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He didn't say, go unto the psychiatrist, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, or your accountant, or your science teacher. He said, come unto me. And there is a reason for that. Because that's what we need. And the same God that saved your soul, Christian, this is for Christians too, the same God that saved your soul will see you from the point that you're saved until the day that you stand before him in glory, because he is, like we said, the author and finisher of our salvation. I think Philippians 1 says, 6, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The work that started at the foot of the cross will be finished in his house, in his word, and in his presence. Good gospel preaching church, good Bible study, and good prayer time. Have you ever gotten to church? And maybe you've been thinking about a thing in the back of your mind. Where did it say that in the Bible? Or what does it say about that in the Bible? And then, not very far in the future, the preacher comes out with a message about that. Or there's something on the back burner in the back of your mind, and the preacher comes out with it one day, and you think, you know what, that's a real answer to prayer. Where are you going to get that? It's not like we're starting something new whenever we have somebody preaching and we have a congregation listening and checking. Remember, checking in your own Bibles and against your own knowledge of the Bible. And if I start to go off the rails, you're supposed to fire me. It is quite literally that simple. If I go off the Bible, I'm supposed to be out the door, and that's up to you. This mode was started by Jesus Christ. Sorry, started by God. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. where men would gather together and one man chosen of God would preach what God gave him to preach. And it's entirely up to you what you do with it. But I'll tell you one thing, you're not going to just let it slide. You're either going to accept it or reject it. It's not just a little bit of information that you can store away. The Word of God is strange like that. It grabs a hold of you and it keeps tapping you on the shoulder and says to you, what are you going to do about that? And that's really what it's all about. It's about God saying, you have a weak area in your life right there, and that's where it's at, and you need to do something about it. Because whenever you do something about it, you and me can do more together. Because otherwise, when we go to speak to people, they're going to say, but Joe, he does that, he says that. How can he be saying that and then being here telling me about how great it is to be a Christian? We need to walk a little bit more closely with God. But one of the other things about church is we get to meet the other brethren. There's things that need praying about that you didn't know about before you came here this evening. Although you might have known about them from our texts and one thing and another. But if we didn't say we didn't have, there's places in the world that don't do that. Believe it or not. If you didn't turn up today, you wouldn't know who to pray for. You wouldn't get the comfort or the feeling of camaraderie. Of knowing that there are other Christians like you out in the world that believe the same as you and that you can call upon. Because if we let that go, then what's the point even in keeping the doors open? And that's the way a lot of churches went. And I think even in Scotland, was it today they overturned the ruling that Nicola Sturgeon's government was going to have to keep the churches closed? That got knocked on the head. That's what's going to happen. And it'll not be the devil with his pointy ears and his tail and the pitchfork and the smell of sulfur. I don't know if you remember enough of my messages, but I used to say the devil is not going to come stinking of rotten eggs and cackling like a mad demon from hell with wings and horns and a tail. He's going to come in a suit with nice shoes and a briefcase. That's what'll shut the churches down, and guess what? That's exactly what shut the churches down. Friends, we need to be here. 2,000 years ago, things changed drastically for mankind. Did you know that? We entered a new age where the world was going to get so wicked and things were going to be too much for us. That God said, I'm going to have to give every single person that wants to follow me the Holy Spirit, who will comfort them, strengthen them, encourage, direct, give wisdom to. We'll even put my words in their mouths if they'll let it, because the world is going to get so wicked. Because up until then, the Holy Spirit came upon people and left again. Samson wasn't always like the Hulk. The Holy Spirit came and went on Samson. We have never needed God's influence in our lives like we have needed it today. Because even in churches, the Bible says, because so many Christians refuse point blank to change their lives when God speaks to them, their love goes cold. And they have no desire to reach out to their fellow man or no desire, no love for the brethren. Just for themselves. And to all intents and purposes, bar that 1 hour on a Sunday morning, there would be no difference between them and Joe Public that has just spent the night in the pub. It's all about me. We need to be in church. A, because he says so. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, the Lord said, and the more so as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but the world hasn't gotten to be a better place in the past 2 years. It's actually gotten to be a worse place. Anybody here want to do without the Holy Spirit? Just to have that feeling of being on your own, of not knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, of not being sure where you're going to in the endless ages of eternity? Does anybody like to go back to that? Would anybody like to step off the solid rock onto the sinking sand? Would anybody like to duck out from underneath the Savior's wings and become prey to the devil? Because the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need the Holy Spirit. When even you walk in Tesco's and you look at the magazine racks and half of them have naked bodies on them. And they're not pornographic. Half of them just have naked bodies on them. Why do you think we need the Holy Spirit? Day in and day out, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Because we need to be, when the world tries to draw our minds away after the filth and profanity, violence and blasphemy, we need to remember Jesus. And I'm not talking about remembering this beatific figure that stands like that with laser beams, I was going to say shooting out of his eyes, that's my wife, with laser beams shooting out of his heart or his hands, and this bright light shining behind. I'm not talking about that's not Jesus. And that long hair flowing over his shoulders. My Jesus wasn't a hippie dope smoker. My Jesus had respectably lengthened hair, if that's even right English. We need the Word of God, not a picture of a man that people are worshipping as Jesus. That is the picture of Jesus that we need to hold in our heart. I'm not pointing at Monica, I'm pointing at the bit of Bible above her. That is the picture of Jesus we need to hold in our heart. This is the picture of Jesus we need to hold in our heart. And here, I pray, is where we come to hear that, to be reminded of that. A long time ago, and one of the things that really set me on the path to Bible memorization, I was in a pastor's church down in Swords in Dublin. I can't remember, it was Lionel Smith. Was it Lionel Smith? Not Lionel. And pardon?
He's one of
them. I think it's Lionel Smith down and his family, and they had a wee girl that had cystic fibrosis, and sadly she passed away a number of years ago. And they were all sitting in church, and then they did this one thing, and I was sitting there going, here I am, being asked to come down to Swords, Dublin, or was it Cork? Probably Cork, actually, to speak for Lionel. And I don't even know that verse that the church is doing. I think it was to do with the love of money being the root of all evil, which while some having coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, I never forgot it. But it showed me that that's where the power of God, it says that's where the power of God is. Did you know whenever you turn up in church, there's an advantage? Because wherever two or three are gathered together in God's name, God is there in the midst. Is that not what the Word of God says? We have, is anybody here today because they've nothing else better to do? Is anybody here today because they're saved? At least one, two, or three. It's like I have to put my glasses on to see those wee bidding nods there. Well, the Bible says that God turned up for you too. God is here in the midst of us. I pray that he is using the message that I'm bringing, but he is speaking to you now about where you stand with him. Could you be in a better position for him? Could you have a better testimony for him? Do you need to know more about him? If you're having a hard time and your heart is breaking, he wants to sit down beside you and put his arm on your shoulder and tell you, look, everything will work out okay in the end if you listen to me. That was in the verses that Norman read for us, Romans 8:28. And he also says that despite all of those people that you think are arrayed against you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Very same verses. Steve sent some verses to me from 2 Samuel 22, where, and he quoted the verses like, he has taught my feet to be hinds' feet, like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. At the very start of the, I think it's round about verse 20, it says, by thee have I run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. God has these offers for you and for me whenever we listen to him. Remember, for many's a long month, and I haven't thought about him very much recently, Peter, remember Peter the apostle? Remember when he was in the boat and Jesus comes walking on the water? And everybody sees him and goes, it's a ghost! It's a ghost! He says, it's not, it's only me. And Peter says, if it really is you, Lord, call me to you and I'll come to you in the water. And he says, come on ahead, Peter. And Peter hops out of the boat. And again, I can almost see some of his friends just missing him. Peter, you'll die in the storm. And he starts walking to Jesus. And then Peter going, that's amazing. We always see the best stuff when we hang around Jesus. And you all know the story, how he nearly gets there and he thinks, I'm nearly home and dry, I'll just have a look over here. And he starts to sink and says, save me, Lord, and says, I've got you, I've got you. That's what Jesus wants to do for you and me, the impossible in the eyes of the world and even in Christians. He wants to lift you up and help you get over so much of the stuff that's going on here, to strengthen you in your heart so that you are not beholden to whatever news story or piece of information is floating about, that you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That no matter what anybody else says, that you know that God will have the last laugh. And you know what? The Bible says God will have the last laugh. In fact, it says in Psalm 2 that he holdeth those that rage against him in derision. God needs for us to observe the Sabbath because we need it. We need it. We need to be tempered. We need to be chastened. Nobody likes that bit. We need to put our tithes in there and just demonstrate to the world, the flesh and the devil, that we're putting our monies where our mouths, our money where our mouths are, is. Something like that. We need to sit here and sing songs and praise the Lord. Because let me tell you, there's plenty of lost people out there singing at the top of their lungs for whatever God it is that they worship. We need to do that. They say singing's good for you. Good for your lungs, good for your breathing, it's just good for you. It's a good discipline to have. Whether you can hold it, the most complex of tunes in your head, or whether you need a galvanized bucket to hold it, you should praise the Lord. More importantly, you should make a point of turning up. Because that's half the battle. Just turning up. Just being there. A lot of people have said over the years, but I'm not an eloquent speaker. I am not an eloquent speaker. I am not a learned Bible scholar. I certainly am not. More often than not, I'm dependent on the Lord to put the words in my mouth, even as I stand here. We left the script a while back. You can double check that with Ling. But we need to be in church. And we need to give God, just God, a certain amount of time in our week. I know sometimes it seems impossible to do it, and that's why I believe maybe the churches split up their services during the week. Have two or three or even four. And get that Sabbath day, but we need it. Not for our family time. Not for our gardening time. Not for our play time. For our God time. We sorely need it. I heard a preacher say one time, and I can honestly say I agree. If you say you have no time, you're too busy and you have no time to go to church or spend time with God or in the Bible or studying, you're just doing far too much. I want to read the last couple of verses. Where are we? 41, 2, 3 and 4 of Leviticus 23. I want you to notice what it says. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Why is that? That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. That means you can actually enjoy your Christian life. You don't have to walk around with your shoulders slumped and your head down and a face that would cut steel or turn fresh milk. You can actually enjoy being a Christian. There's parables that tell us that. The parable of the mustard seed tells us that it's a different life, but it's a better life. And we can enjoy it. Don't forget what Jesus did for you. Don't forget the day that you were saved. Don't forget the times that the Lord has put his finger upon your shoulder or whispered in your ear and pointed you in a certain direction when nobody else could. Don't forget those things. But don't forget too that God has promised to give you all good things, to help you out, to promote you, if you'll promote him. But we need to think, don't ever forget. Problem with the children of Israel, whenever the Lord lifted them up, they forgot about him and started to believe that they had achieved all their greatness because of their wisdom or their strength or their number of soldiers. And it normally cost lives whenever God came around to remind them again. Don't forget him. Don't forget him. Think on him. I'm going to stop there. Oh yeah, one last thing. The Lord gave us the most advanced vision, processing, sensory and cognitive reasoning device in creation, next to his own, and he didn't put it in between your ears to stop you getting a head cold whenever there was cold winds blowing. He said, use it. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time and for being good sports. God bless you. Sing a closing hymn. Hymn number 340. Blessed quietness, although you can sing it as loud as you like. Hymn number 340, blessed quietness. We'll stand as we sing, and then we will be done.
Trusting heart is home. Bless.
See you. Don't forget those that couldn't be here, please do pray. And look forward to seeing you all again soon. Let's close our eyes and be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Please put your good hand upon each one of us as we go our separate ways. Please bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Please give us opportunities, Lord, in the near future. We love you and thank you. We ask this for private prayer requests. And Lord, that you would see Frank safely home on Sunday. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen, folks.